Thursday, TV3 began a new four-part series in which journalist and author Amanda Brunker takes on some of the toughest, most challenging jobs in Ireland, from deep-sea fishing to construction and pig farming. Now, although Amanda's no stranger to hard work, it's not usually as physically demanding as what she had to undertake for this series, and what these ordinary Irish people who feature during the show have to do every single bleeding day to make a living, Amanda. No excuses.
That's what it's all about. Show me the money!
All right, so Amanda, like the experience that you might have had, I presume, is that, are the four programmes finished and done? And,
oh, God, yeah.
Dusted, yeah,
thank
okay.
God. I would hate to be going out on a fishing trawler now. Let's be honest.
So you're not thinking of a certain sort of career change after sampling the joys of these demanding jobs?
I think it's safe to say that I will never try and buck the trend of the fisherman and become a fisherwoman. I think that's like, I mean,
I could have told you I couldn't do what they do in a fit, let alone every day.
Most people can't.
Yeah.
But it was the first one went out on Thursday and thankfully it got a good reaction. Everybody who saw it seemed to be impressed that it was not my normal kind of telly. They were kind of a bit shocked that they actually enjoyed it and it wasn't your normal kind of reality show crap.
Would it be really depressing if everybody didn't like it and if it wasn't very successful and nobody watched it? So I did all this for nothing.
Well, it's like, you know, when I write a book or I've just written a play, it's all about the craft, but then you want other people to enjoy it. There's no point in going to all this trouble and then nobody actually seeing it. But I think it was kind of nice to show a different side of me. And while my husband said that people would have seen a different side, I'm actually just shocked that there is a side of me left that people haven't seen already.
So how long did you spend out? Where did you spend out? And I bet you it was absolutely A division miserable.
It was the worst. It was out of the four documentaries, this was the worst by far. Because we were originally supposed to be kind of spending a week, and then we all kind of agreed that that would not be bearable. So we did about kind of 4 days with this fishing trawler, and originally it was supposed to go out at Dunmore East, and then the weather was too bad, so it changed. We went out at Howth, but the weather was still quite bad. And like last year, the weather had been glorious.
Yeah.
Like it was all really mild.
Of course,
sod's law, the first week I decided to go out in a fishing trawler and all hell breaks loose. And a storm as well kind of came in.
You don't do a stay out overnight kind of thing or anything, do you?
No. We stayed out for
72 hours. Oh, really?
No, right. Longer. So right. It was kind of, we had to live the experience, and the show thankfully isn't about me. It's about the guys and their work and how kind of relentless it is, and kind of people don't realise people are actually putting their life on the line for your dinner, for your fish supper kind of thing. So it's pretty grim, but there isn't. I had to be drugged up to the eyeballs to get out to sea because, if you get seasick, apparently you don't recover from it. It's kind of like if you get seasick, you stay seasick until you come back into land. So I was like, while that would prove an entertaining show, a segment of me kind of throwing up and all the rest, I don't think a whole hour of me throwing up.
Well, hopefully there won't be any technical or yawn in this little piece that I'm going to play here. This is Amanda Brunker, fishing.
I can't get used to the constant movement. I haven't slept properly since we left. I'm exhausted and the day is just beginning.
Have you mind to get up today? Are you down here waiting for somebody to get in beside you? Or are you going to get up for a while?
Up on deck, the crew are already hauling their nets again, and this time their hard work is rewarded. Finally, a great catch. This could be worth several hundred euros. So Shane is one step closer to taking his family out, and Evan can go crazy with all the other weekend millionaires. The catch turns up a huge variety of fish, including one nobody wants to handle.
Conger eel. Nobody wants it.
Not go near him.
They might off your hand.
As the newest member of the crew, Per Gavin gets the job of throwing it overboard.
Stick to repatriating the dogfish.
Okay, hold on a second, Amanda. You are a writer of novels.
Okay,
and you're a journalist.
I'm
hold on, wait a second. This is my turn for a second now here. At this stage of the game, can somebody do something about, meanwhile, in the kitchen, Tommy is cooking up, this voiceover, shite.
Well, now that you bring it up, Dave, thank you, thank you so much for bringing this up.
There's that six quid I owe you.
To be honest, I wish that it all had of, you know,
been
the
on the boat.
Dialogue had been on the boat.
Yeah.
I just, you know, not to pass the buck, I kind of turn up for the gig. I get paid to do my bit. Then we leave and other people direct it. I like to have
as diplomatic as possible and agreeing with me 100%.
Well, you see, the thing is, I can understand why there is possibly a little bit more dialogue or kind of voiceover than there should be, because the guys,
you have to move it on.
You have to move the story on, and unfortunately a lot of the time people who are not used to speaking in public are kind of nervous of speaking to you. But yes, I will bring your notes back to the director.
It's all part of the narrative, Amanda.
And pass it on.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what happened, and you were doing your fishy kind of stuff or whatever. So what can viewers expect in the next few things? I did mention pig farming or something today.
Yeah. Well, thankfully we've got pig farming, construction, and I work as a tree surgeon as well. And actually, of them all, I'd like to be a tree. I would actually work as a tree surgeon again. I loved it.
Did you fall out of any patients?
No, but I'm not afraid of heights, and it's all that kind of outdoorsy stuff.
I've been waiting to use that for a long time. Go on, yes, what?
But I'll just chat away to myself here, Dave. Don't mind me. No, but the next one, next Thursday, is actually I work on a construction site down in Roscommon. They're building new civic buildings down there, which is a bit controversial because the people of Roscommon don't have proper running water. And the county council are building themselves these fabulous state-of-the-art art buildings.
And you helped.
And I helped.
Turncoat.
I did. Well, you know, we were just kind of... The whole thing about it is we talked to a lot of brickies and people working in the industry, and we kind of talked to them about, you know, and not just in voiceover, in actual conversation.
Right. Are you up scaffolding and all that?
Yeah, no, I do the whole thing. I lay bricks not very well. I'm there with my Kango hammer and all sorts of stuff. But it's kind of talking to them about how they survived the recession, you know, people who lost family members to going abroad.
Right.
And then we speak to some of the older guys who had been abroad for years. And then when the boom took off, they felt it was time to come back, and then they come back and then they're out of work again. So it's kind of, you know, it's quite bittersweet for an awful lot of the guys.
And the pig farming, number three?
Thankfully, the pig farming, you see, originally when we had pitched this show, we wanted to go into a chicken processing plant. And, you know, we eat an awful lot of chicken in this country and an awful lot of cheap chicken that we really shouldn't. But anyway, we wanted to go in and kind of show how that worked, but nobody would let us access, surprisingly enough, because it's fairly grim. So we then ended up working on an organic pig farm, which was quite idyllic. And it was like not representative of traditional pig farming, but I rear them kind of, well, for a short time, and then we bring them to the slaughterhouse. I watch them being killed, which is really fascinating stuff, actually. It was you could have done a whole show just in the abattoir. But then we brought them to the butchers, and I basically butchered the pigs, and then we brought them to a market and I sold them. So it was the whole kind of farm to fork kind of process. So, but it was kind of interesting to see how hard it is to be a one man band, like a, you know, a sole farmer.
And I presume you had to do some training for a lot of this kind of thing, because you'd be a danger, you'd be in the way.
I am educated now up to my eyeballs. I have my safety passes.
Yeah.
I have all sorts of qualifications, because half of my, you know, when you sign on to do a show, they'll go, right, okay, we're going to do 20, 30 days or whatever. And nearly all of that was practically in training before I could actually be unleashed. And it's even when I'd had all my safety courses and stuff, training courses, when you arrive, say, out onto the fishing trawler, you're still going to get in people's way. So you just kind of have to kind of skulk back in the shadows for a little bit before you can see the working, and then you get in. But
with all of them, you were mucking in. I mean, you weren't just there for some bit of camera.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, of course, me being kind of a bit kind of feisty, I was kind of getting angry that they didn't show more of me working, and they were like going, it's not about you, Amanda. But I'm like going, well, then why didn't you tell me that when we were filming, and I wouldn't have busted a gut.
I would have thought it was about you. Okay, so of the ones that you did, the tree surgeon was the best. Why?
Well, you know, you're working outdoors, you're surrounded by big, hunky, men, strong men, you know, what is there not to like? Now, obviously, at this time of the year, it's pretty grim.
Did you film in the summer, did you?
We filmed at the end of the summer. It was kind of sometime in September, and it was glorious.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it was all really nice work. It was just kind of, you know, it's hard going, and I kind of realised just how unfit and fat and old my body actually was when we got out there, because, you know, I'm sure, like yourself, I'm still about 25, 26 in my head.
18.
There you go. So, you know, but in reality, I'm now 40 and my old bones are going, what are you thinking? You've been sitting on your arse for the last 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just suddenly be expected to do it. It's not like the fishermen have been doing it all the time, you know. Like,
exactly.
I'm trying to make excuses.
But
you,
yeah, but the feminist in me is kind of going, you know, us women can do just what the
boys
can.
Well, then, traditionally, these jobs that you want to talk for the series, they don't have many women working in them traditionally. So do you think more women should consider this kind of work? Are you proof that they would definitely be able for it, even if you didn't like the deep sea fishing one?
Absolutely. No, listen, there's women much better than me who would be more than capable of doing it. I think when it comes to fishing, they're possibly women. It's not that they can't do it. They're just more smart and go, why would I do that? You know, you'd want to have a real love for the sea to go out there.
What about the toughness of these jobs? Are they equally tough physically? What about mentally?
Yeah, I think they all kind of have their own different kind of struggles. And I think with the fishing, it's not that it's particularly tough, but it's more relentless. And it's just kind of, these guys would be up for, they could be up for 72 hours straight. Now, that doesn't seem physically possible to most people, but these guys, they're not even eating, they're not even drinking coffee, they're just literally living off cigarettes. And you're just kind of, the mammy and me got really kind of upset to watch these guys, and not all of them were really young. Like, there was a few young guys on the boat, but then there was a few older guys, and you're just kind of like, oh Jesus, lads. And they said, listen, we're here, you're making a TV show, we're trying to make a living. And it was just kind of like going, we can sleep when we get back to land. These guys just go on and on and on. So, like, I mean, people can see if they watch the show back, you know, I demand that they all come in for dinner, but literally they hadn't eaten anything. Like, I would have assumed they would have been living off chocolate bars and coffee. Literally, they don't even take the time, because they'll be dragging nets for about 2 hours, and then they'll haul them in, and then they cast the nets back off, but then they sort the fish, they gut the fish, they ice the fish, and by the time that's all kind of done and they've kind of cleaned up their work area, they go back to hauling again. So, you know, they don't even get to take a shit.
Well, then,
really.
Well, then what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to? Are you going to go back to champagne novels again? Are there more of those?
Yeah, those trashy. Listen, people like those trashy novels. I will have you know.
Me thinks the man doth protest too much.
Well, I tell you,
a woman in this case.
I will. Do you know what? I'll definitely write another champagne novel at some stage, because they have done so well for me. I'm very lucky to have had the success that I did with
those.
Well,
one of the reasons you've had the success you've had, and you were Miss Ireland at the age of 17, so that's 20 years ago and more, or whatever. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, nearly 24 years ago.
It is 24 years.
What's got you to where you've got to in terms of all the stuff you've written in the Sunday World as well? Is it your fingless smarts?
I just think I forgot to marry Rich. And
Who's he?
He's a very patient man, let's put it that way. I just think I like to work, and people kind of get annoyed at me. I always find it fascinating going, this Egypt still hanging around, and I'm like going, I'm just trying to make a living, lads.
Well, I have to ask one simple question then. Does Philip watch the television programme?
He watched the TV show.
Has he read the champagne novels?
No.
Right, okay. Is that a good thing?
That's a very good, and I've just written a play which will hopefully be on coming to theatres the end of May, June, and I don't know whether I'll let him go.
What's that about?
It's
what's the narrative?
It's two kind of frustrated women. They're in the middle of their own crisis, and they have this chance meeting, and they're in the middle of hating men, and then they have this connection, and they kind of have this kind of emotional affair, and then they part ways, and they're kind of enriched by the experience.
And what happens then?
And I've got half a book written as well, which will hopefully be out by the end of the year, but totally different from the champagne stuff. I'm trying to be taken serious as an author, so we're going a little bit more mature, and we're trying to make it a little bit more.
So wait a minute, with all
clever.
This, then are you disciplined? Is it the garret? Is it burning the midnight lamp? Is it?
Yeah. Well, at the moment, I had to change the whole burning the midnight oil because I burnt out, basically.
Did I say burning the midnight lamp? Sorry, burning the midnight oil.
I got you. I'm with you. But I had done, you know, anybody who kind of gets themselves into a contract, I did 3 novels in 3 years, plus working in the Sunday World, plus trying to raise 2 small children, and then plus all the other little bits that I do as well. And I just burnt out. And through kind of a series of unlucky kind of events, my editor, she was made redundant, and she was kind of one of the top 8 in the UK. She was made redundant. Then my literary, fabulous literary agent decided she wanted to quit the business for family reasons.
Where's the sound, the fairy? Hang on, get out the little violin.
I was just going to say. The whole point is, it was kind of, I was kind of rudderless, and I just kind of went, you know what, this is time just to slow it all down a little bit. And then I just concentrated on the paper. And now because I took redundancy from the paper at the end of last year, It's kind of forced me to get my mojo back. So, fingers crossed.
I feel a novel coming on.
Absolutely. A dirty novel coming on.
Oh, listen, Amanda Brunker, thanks a million. We've had number one, there's 3 to go. What day, time, station?
Yeah, 9 o'clock TV3 next Thursday and for the next 3
And for the next 3 weeks. And you've missed the fishing one, but it's probably up there on the
It is, it'd be on the TV3 player. Right. But you know what? Just for anybody who finds me slightly annoying, thankfully the show is not about me. It's about other people. I am just the
By the
vehicle.
Way, reaction to the first programme. How's Twitter these days with you?
Do you know what?
Twitter is
being really, really nice. There was only 2 negative comments, which I was absolutely shocked at. One of them was like, look who's eating all the pies. And that's kind of like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. But I thought a really funny negative one was, I think Amanda is like a functioning Lindsay Lohan. And then somebody came back going, I just say functioning.
Okay, on that note, functioning, Amanda. Thank you very much indeed, Amanda. And Thursday night, 9 o'clock it is.
Thanks,
Fair play to you. Well done.